So we're doing a series on Galatians. You say, why do we keep preaching this? Why do we go on about this? Well, I got out at a business meeting in Parkview this week, and I got out and I could see the man that I was meeting with. I had to sign some contracts, and as I was about to get to his table, a lady next to me said, good morning, Rory, and so I stopped. I said, good morning, ma'am. She said, you don't know me. I said, no, I don't know you. She said, I've been invited to your church for 10 years. I'm a daughter of a religious man, grew up in the church, grew up under legalism, and for 10 years I've been invited to come to your church, and I've said no, but for the last 3 weeks I've come, and I'm amazed by the gospel of grace. And so we're going to continue to preach the gospel of grace until every person has caught it. Amen? And from that place, there are two religions in the book of Galatians. There's a major fight that's taking place. If you read Galatians, there are actually three wars that are taking place. There's a war between the head and the headquarters. You say, what does that mean, Rory? Well, the head of the church is Jesus, but the headquarters is Jerusalem. And they keep going back to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem keeps sending people, and the head and the headquarters keep smashing into each other. I'm amazed how many people don't do things because people tell you Rory wouldn't approve of it. It's got nothing to do with Rory. When anybody ever says to you, Rory, don't like that, just say, it's not about Rory. It's about Jesus. Your behavior is linked to Jesus. And so we have every structure that has been going for any length of time has got a set of rules and regulations that go with the structure, and we are somehow meant to fit into that so that we can be liked and go up the structure. This is not a performance center. This is a formation center. We are not trying to get you to perform. We are trying to form you into the image of Christ. And in the book of Galatians, Paul says, I am once again in the pains of childbirth. Now, you wouldn't understand that unless you've been into a labor ward, for my case, four times. And when I come back in my next life, I'm going to come back as a man again. I don't want to come back as anything that resembles a woman. When the Bible says that men are stronger than women, Paul had obviously never been to a labor ward before. Because I want to tell you, even ox and chair wouldn't survive the labor ward. Andre Pollard, cool as a cucumber, gets paid 20 million rand a year so that he could just calmly put that oak in the labor ward and watch him fall apart. And Paul says, I am once again in the pains of childbirth until you get formed in Christ. And so we have these incredible wars going on in the book of Galatians. If you read it, you will realize there's this war between the head and between the headquarters. There's sort of this behavioral pattern. Well, you're a Christian and you're in the church, and so we expect you to behave a certain way. Just follow the head. Follow the head. Amen? And well, we're meant to be a church, and we're meant to be seen, and you're in Christ, you are free. There's a fight between religion and the gospel. And we put up a list of 12 things. If you weren't here, you can go and look at it on our website. The gospel is so contrary to religious systems. And yet many people suffer with religious systems. There's a behavioral pattern. There's an expectation upon man. There are all these things that come against us. And then later when we read the book of Galatians, we see this incredible fight between the sinful nature and the spirit. Because God gives us grace, He clothes us in grace, but He actually wants to change our behavior. But not with a set of rules, but by the Spirit living inside of us. And so the Spirit and the sinful nature fight each other. And so when you read this book of Galatians, we're actually in war. We're in war with many different things. Amen? And so it's a tough book. There are two gospels. And Paul keeps going back to Jerusalem to make sure that the Jerusalem apostles, when the fight comes against the church, everybody spreads except the apostles. Apostles are the sent ones. So they were meant to go, but they stay in Jerusalem. So they only deal with Jewish problems. The guys who go out start to deal with Gentile problems. And as they deal with these Gentile problems, they realize that the gospel of grace is so liberating. And then these Jewish guys think, well, you've got to have the gospel plus a little bit. And particularly the issue that they deal with is circumcision. So circumcision is actually not an issue for us today, but there are other issues. that the church police always come and knock on our door with. There's always the church police. They're always policing us on something. Amen? And so the two gospels are simply this. Believe, saved, obey. That's Paul's theory. The Jerusalem theory, but not from the apostles, from the lieutenants, from the guys down the structures, from the guys who have heard it secondhand. Believe, obey, saved. Massive. If Paul could not get this right, it was going to split the church in half. And he said, I'm going to go to war on this issue. I'm going to go to war. I'll take Peter onto his face on this issue. Because if we don't get this thing right, we're going to keep people in bondage. Amen? Yeah. So I had a haircut this week. Thank you. Thank you. How do you think? What do you think? You know, King Price Insurance is an amazing company. Every year, the value of your car goes down, so the value of your insurance goes down. It's amazing it hasn't hit the hair industry yet, eh? Can you imagine starting King Price Hair? As your hair falls out, your price gets less and less and less. But somehow, as you get older, it seems to go up and up and up. So I sit down in the chair, and it's a French guy cutting my hair, and he says something like, "Fair." So I said, I beg your pardon? He said, "Fair." So I said, sorry, my mate. I'm also going a little bit deaf. I said, sorry, buddy. What are you saying? Would you like a whiskey? No, I think, no, I've just come to have my hair cut. Now, I know your boss. He's trying to upsell everything. So I said, no, thanks. I won't have a whiskey. Thank you. I said, in a cafe? I said, I beg your pardon? Just cut my flipping hair. So first, in a cafe? I said, sorry. Sorry, my mate. We like coffee. No, coffee. What? No, what? No coffee, no whiskey. Cut my hair! So now I'm cutting my hair. I can't understand a word he's saying something. Let me keep quiet because I don't understand the song. Hey, cut my hair. He points at some machine. He said, oh, that's special. So I said, great. So he finishes cutting my hair. I think I'm done. He lies me flat. I said, what's wrong? He says, special. I said, I beg your pardon. No, special. Special. So I said, oh, my hat. What have I signed myself up for? So he lies me down. He starts massaging my nostrils. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, please don't let any 3CR member walk in here now. Lord God, please. Please, God, no 3CR. Jesus, please. I didn't do this on purpose. I didn't understand him, Lord God. Please, Lord, no 3CR person. Please, Jesus. And then he sticks this hot thing with wax up my nose. Whoa! I think, oh, God, please, no 3CR person, Lord God. And I'm thinking, now what? And then he fiddles the thing, and I'm thinking, now I've got a lollipop sticking out of my nostril. I think, oh, Lord. And then he sticks another one up. I said, what is that? He says, special. And then I hear this thing go, and he puts something on my face, and then he goes, he's like sanding a table down. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, special. I said, where did that come from? He says, special. Special, special. I'm 55 years old. I'm lying in a barbershop. He turns my chair to face the crowd, and I'm thinking, please, dear Jesus, don't let anyone from my church walk in here, Lord God, please, Lord. And then he says, face pack? I said, yeah. I said, God, please, what is Botox in French, Lord God? Please, God, I just wanted to know, no. Oh, and he takes it off, think, oh, thank you, Jesus. Then he pulls this thing out of my nose. Jeez, I just said, wow, like it. He says, you want to look? I said, no, definitely not. I think I have a piece of tonsil on the end of it, you know. Hey, then he pulls the other one out. He says, I must do it again. I said, no chance, bro. There's no chance. I said, what's that for? He says, for hair? No, senor, hair. it goes. And then I just think, oh God, I've got to get out of here. And as I walk out, my face feels like it's 1.5 inches bigger than it normally is. I've paid the biggest price I've ever paid for a haircut in my life. And I walk into a member of 3CI. And in his hand, he's got 2 hamburgers. It's coming from the spa. And I'm thinking, either he's going to say, why is your face red, or I'm going to attack. I said, hey, 2 hamburgers for lunch, buddy. He says, yo, you think that's right? I said, I don't care what you think. I'm out of here. I got in my car and I thought, flip, how did that happen? I want to speak to you today about the fear of man and how it affects our lives. Let's turn to Galatians 2. Three things. When Peter came to Antioch, verse 11, I was going to do a whole thing through the book of Galatians, but just remember this. The gospel frees me from the fear of man. The gospel frees me from the fear of man. Even religious men, even men who you think are senior, even men who speed in their cars. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, from the headquarters, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was a? Say it. People in the church can't make you scared of anything. Of towing a line, of playing according to the rules. People cannot make you scared. Because he was afraid. Peter was afraid. Friends, we don't have time to look there. But in Acts chapter 10, Peter grew up with Jesus. Peter was a Jewish man, he was a religious man, he was a fisherman, he was an ordinary man, he was a powerful man. But the Bible says that God let down a sheet when he was up in Cornelius' house praying. He let down a sheet, not Cornelius' house, Simon's house. He let down a sheet, and inside the sheet were all kind of reptiles. Lycavana and tortoises and hardy-dars. And dodos, they still existed in those days. And every kind of bird that you can imagine, and every disgusting animal, and pigs, and warthogs, and rats, and all sorts of things inside of that sheet. And God said, kill and eat. And Peter said, surely not, Lord. There's no ways, Lord God, that I'm going to eat that stuff. The Bible says 3 times he let down the sheet. And Peter said, surely not, Lord, because he was so steeped in religion that it took 3 times for God to lower that sheet. And eventually he understood that the gospel was not for Jews. The gospel was for everybody. He just used dietary laws to explain it. So Peter is completely free. Peter understands. He goes to the house of what's the guy's name? Cornelius. He goes to his house. He falls down on the floor. Cornelius falls down on the floor. And he says, welcome to my house. Peter picks him up. He says, don't kneel down before me because you're a man just like me. One of the greatest gifts that we can give to you in the church is that despite anything that you've ever been through, you can look every single man or woman in the eye. Amen. You can look them straight in the eye. And you think, but what about my past? Your past is past. You can look them in the eyes. You don't have to say, well, you know, I always say this to married couples. When you get married, it's not so much this day, but in the old days, when we got married, the first thing they ever did is they tied stuff to the back of your car. My friends tied wheelbarrows and all sorts of, and tins and paint tins and all sorts of things. And as you drove off on this journey called marriage, you'd have all these things behind your car going clang, clang, clang. All your past, all the disqualifications, all your bad decisions. And the first thing you have to do, because you listen to them, as you turn around to look at this noise, you see on the veranda, your mother-in-law says, I'm not actually letting him go. And you got to get out your car and you got to cut that thing off. That's what the gospel does. It cuts it off. So that when you drive, this clatter doesn't come with you. Amen? The fear of man has got to be dealt with. So Peter goes into his house. He preaches the gospel to them. The Holy Spirit comes down in power, incredible power in that house. In Acts chapter 11, I don't know if we've got it on the screen. In Acts chapter 11, he goes back to Jerusalem and he says, hey guys, God's done miraculous things amongst the Gentiles. And this is what it says. The circumcised group were cross with him because he went into an uncircumcised man's home. This circumcised group, this religious police, it can happen, friends, to anybody. God frees us, God frees us, God frees us. God reveals things to us. And a little bit down the line, Peter is caught up again by the circumcised group because he's fearful of whether he's going to get chucked out of his position in Jerusalem. Our positions are nothing. There's only one position. His name is Jesus. That's why I preach off the floor, because I, like Peter and I, like Barnabas, can also fall into old habits. And we need to be free, completely and utterly free. And so one of the greatest things the gospel does is it frees me from the fear of man. Friends, we are building structural church in Pretoria where pastors have got too much power over people's lives. And what Rory says and what the elders say is too important in the decisions that you are making. I love loyalty. But when we read in the end of Galatians and we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, peace, patience, joy, gentleness, self-control. Inside of the fruit of the Spirit, there is no loyalty. Loyalty is not a fruit of the Spirit. Yet in Afrikaans people, it is one of the factors that separate you from every other nationality in the world. You are loyal, and that is unbelievably amazing. But sometimes you are loyal to the traditions of your father, which stop you worshiping God properly. Why will you not lift your hands in worship? You say, because I'm not designed like that. No, not that. Because you hold a senior position in society and you worry that somebody else in this auditorium will think badly of you because your freedom is being expressed by lifting up your hands. You say, Rory, well, I'm not like that. I'm introverted. Friends, you're not introverted or extroverted or Jew or Greek. It says in the book of Galatians, here there is no Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. We are all sons and daughters of God. And it pours over my personality, pours over my traditions. I want to say this to you, friends. There are people in this auditorium who only give money, they give lots of money, generous money to their culture, whether it's black or Afrikaans. That is not biblical. You cannot do that. A black man cannot only give money to black charities, and an Afrikaans man cannot only give money to Afrikaans charities. That is racist and prejudiced, and it's not the kingdom of God. You say to me, oh, Rory, but that's what God's called me. Not in the Bible. The beauty of the Bible is that you and I become one despite our differences of upbringing, whether you grew up holy or sinful, you and I become one. And culture, you say, but what about culture? Culture is awesome, but the greatest culture is kingdom culture. When we lay down our traditions of our fathers and take on new traditions where we find ourselves equal with our brothers and sisters. And I will keep preaching this, friends. I can remember many occasions, but one occasion when I was sitting before a show in Pretoria and I was sitting with a man who runs a cultural recovery house. And then I started to see all the investors of that cultural recovery house. How's it? And I thought, this culture has got a recovery house, but the only way you can get in that house is by being of a certain culture. This house is a recovery for every culture. Amen. Drunk, divorced, diseased, gay, freaking Afrikaans, English, whatever you might be, you're welcome here. Yeah. And the same Jesus, the Lord of us all. You say, Rory, why are you going to war? Paul's going to war. He says, I will even take on Peter because I'm not going to let this religious rubbish slip into the church. I'm not going to let it happen. Nice to see you. Seriously, I'm 55. We've got to lose the fear of man. We've got to set people free. So free that they can leave our church and go to another church, and so free that they can, so free that they're obedient to God, not to the elders. Amen? So free. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Say Barnabas. If you've been in this church for any length of time, we preached the message on Barnabas. I think it's one of the best preachers I've ever preached in my life. He's one of the heroes of the church. But even Barnabas, Acts 11 says this, if you can put it up. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and he saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. But when the circumcised group arrived, Barnabas, who sold his property and gave it to the church, Barnabas, who introduced Paul to the apostles when everybody was scared of Paul, Barnabas, who saw the evidence of God's grace, lost that because of the fear of man. Barnabas, even Barnabas. That's why we need Paul. That's why we need Rory sometimes to take us on and to remind us not to get stuck in our little cultural cliques of convenient Christianity. If you are sitting in your house having dinner and you've got six Afrikaans people or six English people around your table, you do not understand the gospel of grace. You are a comfortable, convenient Christian who will continue to meet with like-minded people. The beauty of Christianity is it takes people from different backgrounds, different thinking patterns, different upbringings, and makes them one. And I'm not scared to take you on. Because sitting in this room is deep racism and deep prejudice. That's tough, Rory. Now, the same God who rescued me from my sin also rescued me from religion and rescued me from man and rescued me, the Bible says, from this present evil age, which has got cliques and social structures and hierarchical patterns that are not in the Bible. And so three things, and I'm finished. I want to read the whole scripture to you again. Three things and we finished. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. Say hypocrisy. What is the greatest criticism of Christians? It's hypocrisy. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile. You're free and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" Three things the gospel does. It frees me up from the fear of man. It frees me up from hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is simply this. My belief and my behavior are different. That's hypocrisy. My belief and my behavior are different. Truthfulness means this is what I believe, this is how I behave. And hypocrisy can be both ways. I believe in Christ, but I'm wild, or I believe in Christ, but I'm judgmental. Hypocrisy sets me free from both. I believe in Christ, I'm absolutely covered by His grace. That grace gives me the ability to say no to ungodliness,
so I can go to rugby on a Saturday night and not get smashed out of my mind, because actually the Spirit of God is inside of me and it's got more power to deal with the sinful nature. And I don't have to judge people who are getting smashed, who don't have my belief system, because they don't have the power and revelation that I have. And the third thing is, it frees me from legalism. It says, how come you put rules on the Gentiles to follow Jewish customs, where you yourself know you're free from those things, Peter? The gospel of God frees me up from the fear of man, frees me up from hypocrisy. What I am is what I am. How I behave is according to my belief system. And I don't have to put legalism on anybody. I don't have to put any behavioral patterns on anybody. I just preach the gospel. I stand here by grace. You stand here by grace. If you are not behaving according to grace, I must share grace with you until you understand it. But I cannot change you with laws, rules, and regulations. I can only change you by grace. I'm not scared to go to war for the truth and for freedom. And so some of you will probably be offended this morning because your dinner parties are closed and prejudiced. But think about it. You see, in Afrikaans, we've got a phrase called soort soek soort. In the Bible, that does not exist. If you go to the Kruger Park, you'll see all giraffes together. You'll see all zebras together. You'll see all lions together. Because by their nature, they hang around with the same kind. In the church, we have a new nature. It says at the end of Galatians, this is not about circumcision or uncircumcision. This is about a new creation. We are new creations. So we have new habits. Giraffes eat off the top of the tree. Buck eat off the bottom of the tree. Lions eat meat. Leopards hunt solely. But we have a new creation. We have a new nature. And that new nature, we develop new habits. And they hang around with a new group of people that are actually different to us. But the more we hang around together, the more become the same as us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word would seriously and utterly irritate people completely. I pray it will make us uncomfortable, knowing, Lord God, that we are credited with the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing I can do, Lord God. I can't add or subtract from your gospel. I can't make myself more holy. I don't have to do anything spiritual to make myself better accepted. I don't have to give more money. I just have to understand credited righteousness. And Lord God, I pray that the fear of man would break over this church. That what other people think about us will be broken. How we dress, what we wear, where we drive, where we live, who we hang around with. Do we have the latest trends? I pray that rubbish would break over us, Father God. And that we would live by the grace of God alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone, in grace alone. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.